Hello, and welcome to the Blade Runner Minute. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And this is our podcast where we get together once a week, maybe twice a week, depending on when I recorded this and when you're listening to it, to talk about the movie Blade Runner.
1 minute at a time.
I didn't say the 1 minute part.
No, it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, we talk about it 1 minute at a time. We take the movie, we watch it for 60 seconds, and...
Because it's the only real way to watch a movie.
We talk about just those 60 seconds each episode. Minute 19 starts with Tyrell. What'd you say today? Eldon?
Mm-hmm.
Eldon Tyrell, played by Joe Turkel, walking into the office. And right off the bat, this Tyrell character is quite a character. Sandra, what are your thoughts on
Well, he comes in Eldon and Tyrell. He is discussing, listing how the empathy test works, right? Capillaries and the so-called blush response and dilation of the irises, things that you can't control. And you can almost hear that he is blowing it off, right?
Yeah.
And you can just hear his disdain for this test, like, as if he can't prove anything. So maybe they don't use it as part of their tests in the Tyrell Corporation.
Which, what's the term? Lends credence to what I said before about maybe Rachel was just being smug when she asked if you've retired a human by mistake.
Yeah, I guess they know what they do, but they don't know, like, they know of the test and none of them have ever used it, because maybe it's just a Blade Runner thing, because then Deckard says to him the name of the test. He goes, "We call it," as if it was developed by the police and not by these corporations that designed the robots.
Right. Well,
then how do they know that they're qualified to make this assumption of...
Captain Bryant called it the Void Comp before.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So the way he said, "We call it," like, how do, if the police develop this tool,
right,
but they're not the ones who build these replicants, how do we know they're qualified to make this assumption about them? Like, what evidence do they use? How do they develop it?
It's a movie. It's just a freaking movie.
Yes, but if we have to talk about it, 60
it's
just, seconds.
That's it. It's a movie. I like his cool electric shades, his whatever they're called, the future shades that come down.
Can we talk about that view from the window?
Oh, and you're right. There are more temples.
Yeah.
Whatever they call the pyramid buildings, because there's, you see another
one. Can we talk about how they built them so high?
Unless this is an extension of that same building.
That they're above. They're above the dirt and the smog.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Because you can actually see the clouds and the sun above it. Right. As if there's so much muck everywhere else that it just doesn't penetrate to where the noodle bar is, right? No. Because it's just, like in Fifth Element, there was that layer that they went beyond underneath to hide out in, that it was just complete muck that they had to build above it. So that Tyrell is above all this dirt. Like, we're better than you.
Mm. Oh my God. Why are you
with the
like
sun
that?
Over the pyramids shining down. Blessed.
I love this actor, Joe Turkel, playing
what else has Tyrell. Mr. Turkel been in?
I didn't really look him up enough.
But you love him in this movie.
I love him in this movie because of his amazing fast hand gestures.
But his disdain you could hear so clearly in his voice.
I love when he holds up his hand and he's just like, "Indulge me.
Indulge
me." And he's like playing piano in the air almost. He's got this like weird, like a chord.
The maestro.
Yeah, yeah. He's like striking a chord.
Because that's what he's doing, right? He's pulling these strings like, "Indulge me. Do this so-called test of yours," right?
Excellent hand gestures.
Figure it out.
You can't be directed to do that either. There's no way Ridley Scott was saying, "Can you do..." What were the guitar chords that Joey learned from Phoebe?
Bear claw.
Can you do bear claw from? there's no way that was told to him. He did that on
his
own.
And then Deckard asks for it to be dim.
"It's too bright in here. It's too bright in here." That's what he says.
"It's too bright in here." And they close the shades. Your future
shades start coming down.
Do you think it's because they need to see the dilation in the eye and the
light
affects the dilation?
Yeah, I think that's just a little detail. Like it's.
But that makes sense. Remember in the beginning we were talking about how dim that room is for the first Void Comp test that we saw?
Oh, yeah.
Now it makes sense why it was dim, because they need to be able to see the dilation of the eye.
Yeah, he needs to see his equipment. There's going to be a glare on the screen. That's all that is.
I don't think it's glare. I think it's dilation of the eye.
It's going to be glare on the screen because they have the eye zoomed out on the Voight comp test. Remember, mm-hmm. There's like a big screen, like a whatever, like a 9-10 inch screen as part of the machine. So you know, the only he could see it either way. I think it's just he doesn't want the sun.
I think it's dilation of the eye.
You're thinking way too much about this movie. I'm telling you, there's nothing deep about this movie.
It's supposed to be.
It's just a simple, stupid little sci-fi popcorn movie. It's a simple love story. Man. Listen.
It's a simple love story, right? That's all it is.
This guy's office is, I've never noticed until we watched it minute by minute.
Is it an office or a conference room?
These are the benefits. We'll call it an office. It's okay. These are the benefits of watching a movie like this 1 minute at a time. I never noticed all those plants.
All the busts. Not only do they have the animals, they have these busts of some dudes. Who are these dudes? Are they Roman philosophers?
I bet they're all him. I bet he had busts commissioned of just himself. I want another one of me. Right there. Engulf me.
This time, make me smiling.
No. Do one of me. Not of anybody else. Indulge me. Yeah. What else did you get out of the minute?
Again, I'm going to keep going back to those pyramids with the sun and the god of the sun, that the sun is so
visual
bright
stuff
in there.
Beautiful.
This movie is really, really visual. Like, they're telling us without telling us how this the only time we really see sunshine is when we're at Tyrell. Like, we don't see light like that anywhere else
except for
artificial light.
So far.
We don't see, everything's been dark and dingy.
That kind of, the end, at least this version's end.
You know, in every office we've seen so far, in every street scene, everything's been crowded and dirty, filled with stuff. Even Brian's office. And then you get to Tyrell, and there's this, like, almost
beautiful.
Antiseptic feel.
Yeah. That's also the mark of a great director. He's not keeping you in the muck for too long. He's not keeping you in the office for too long. He goes back and forth. It's a great movie. He's crazy now, Ridley Scott. I'm sorry if he's hearing this and hurt. But you know, after Prometheus, it's clear to see the guy lost his goddamn mind.
Well, this movie kind of drove him, like, mad, right? We're all mad here. Him and Harrison had a lot of problems.
Him
on
and
the
everybody
set.
Had a lot of problems. Him and the writer, him and the producers, him and the
like, there was a lot of pushback from every
director.
Person. All the executives had a problem.
He was almost off the project. It took so long to secure rights and get.
Harrison Ford said he wouldn't really. They both said, like, they would probably never work with each other again. But then they've gone back to say it was this movie.
it was
voiceover
supposedly...
thing. Everyone kept changing their mind. That's why, like, is it a robot or is it engineered? Because I don't think they even really knew. I think every day they changed what. Okay, so now the movie's about this.
Yeah, so much to the point where they had to bring in the second writer. I forget who came first, Hampton Fancher or. I think the writer, I don't have it in front of me, David Peoples, I think, is the second writer. But I forget who came on first.
And you got to figure in editing, even if they reshot scenes, like, they didn't always, it must have been hard to keep that continuity of what plot they wanted to follow and what mythos they were building. Like, you can't always fix that in editing because people aren't available. That's why they did the voiceover, because they thought they would fill the gaps like that.
Yeah, the movie seemed doomed from the start when I've, the further back I read about the early reports of its production. It's a miracle it got made at all.
I have no idea how they got it made.
But I think we've spoken about Deckard's attire so far. I think we've talked about his cool
duster.
Jacket, right? Okay. Now,
did you see
Deckard's
duster?
Shirt?
What's he wearing?
So when he's getting ready to do the test on...
Are you checking out his pets?
On Rachel. He's taking his jacket off. He's draping her over the chair. And he's got, like, what looks to me like the map of a Pac-Man screen.
No way.
I should have brought it up on my phone to show you, to hold it in front of you right now as we're recording, but watch it again and it looks like the grid from the Pac-Man. He's
wearing a graphic tee or is it on a button down?
No, it's his button down
shirt
with these, like, designs all over it, and to my eyes it looks like, I know it's not at all, but it looks so similar to the Pac-Man
was
grid.
Was Pac-Man out already when this movie was made?
I think this is 82, I forgot.
Okay.
So, was he? Was it out? Mm-hmm. With the little dots, I think, for Pac-Man to eat up.
Was it a Ron Swanson shirt that he has all those grids on his shirt all the time?
It's a funny, funny shirt, and I wonder if they wanted it. I wonder if he had, like, a flat.
Was he wearing a tie?
I think so.
Can we do a Mandela effect that he was wearing a tie?
I don't think we have a choice.
Do I look professional?
How do I look? Do I look professional?
You know, we haven't mentioned something in a while.
What's up?
We haven't mentioned Sigourney Weaver in quite a few episodes.
We don't have catchphrases on this show.
We
especially catchphrases that we stole from Aqua Teen.
Yeah, okay. But...
that's not our...
But can we talk about how there's this trend...
The Sigourney Weaver thing isn't ours. ...around this time
that they needed female sci-fi leads? Like, that was a big deal. Abyss had a strong female lead. Terminator Alien. Then has a strong female lead.
Yeah, Alien, Terminator, Abyss. Yeah. Aren't those all... Oh, no, one of them's Cameron. Mm-hmm. Two of them are Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron and Ridley.
They're the girl Terminator. They're the girl sci-fi movies.
That's a nice little connection that we've made.
I don't know any other sci-fi movies. Well, Star Wars was also out, right? Did they consider Princess Leia the lead of those?
No.
I think
no.
She must have started the trend.
She's being rescued, for Christ's sake.
Okay, she takes the gun and rescues herself. She's like, come give it to me. I'll do it myself. She rescued herself.
Female hero.
She rescued herself. You call this a rescue?
There's great facial acting happening. Yes. There's Harrison Ford looking at Joe Turkel, reacting off of one another, or it seems so to me, when he asks him about the test. I want to see a negative before I see a positive. He's like, oh, what's that going to prove? Is it a dude on you? And then these close-ups of both Harrison Ford and Joe Turkel loving him. And then when he says, you know, put the test on Rachel, Sean Young gives this little smirk, and she like, puts her head. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
She like wags
but
her
she
head
has,
a
even
bit.
When she's smiling, it's like a stone-faced.
She's very subtle mm-hmm. in this movie. Very great actress.
Do you think that was direction, or what do you think they told her?
Maybe. I don't know. But either way, she killed
it. She pulls it off, yeah.
It's a beautiful little smirk that she gives. Like, I wonder what she's thinking. Like, oh, that's
like,
fun. I'll take your
funny?
Stupid little test.
Won't this be funny?
Yeah, because she has no idea what she might be.
Don't ruin it for people.
Oh, spoiler city. You know what?
Spoiler alert.
You know what, everybody? Come back for minute 20. We're going to stick with this VK test on Rachel for a little while, it looks like to me. Yeah, the next few minutes. Because we got to figure out what the heck's going on with this Rachel girl.
No, we got to figure out what's going on with this Voight comp in the Nexus 6. We don't think Rachel has any part to play yet.
I want to know why Terrell wants the machine put on Rachel, because I don't trust this guy.
I don't trust him either.
I don't trust his
He's
big googly
something.
Glasses. I don't trust his owl.
Don't make fun of him for wearing glasses.
Why does he have an owl just running, flying loose in his,
why doesn't
in his
he?
Office?
So what? People have dogs running around.
Those are birds of prey. They're not just going to...
They're
like
they'll
little, attack you.
Well, first off, they're like little animals.
Birds will attack you.
No, owls won't really bother
an
you.
An owl
they
will
like,
mistake one of Joe Turkle's...
They like a mite. They
hold
like
on
mice
hold on
and voles.
Hold on, you're Joe Turkel, all right? You're eating lunch at your desk.
They may take his sandwich. They may take his grilled cheese sandwich.
Did I tell you about the time that a seagull stole my pecan pie?
Yes. Do you want to tell them about the time a seagull stole your pecan pie?
I just did.
Okay, wait a second. Hold on a second. Hold on. He has a bird of prey because he is prey. He is the bird. The, like,
he's prey or he's the predator?
He's a predator as well.
He's a predator just like his bird. Mm-hmm. So when we walk into this office and the first thing we see is a bird of prey.
Like people keep a falcon.
That's, you just reversed the roles. Now the Blade Runner character isn't the badass tough guy looking for
he's the prey.
Whoa,
that's why it's there.
Brow.
But why wouldn't he keep an animal, like, even if it's artificial?
No,
first
stop
off,
it it's completely
first off
it's
if it's artificial
weird.
it probably doesn't eat it's right pro- do they eat do replicants eat
Agent K in 2049 has
no,
a bowl of
didn't happen yet
silica ramen looks like to me
didn't happen yet
I
have
don't
we seen a replicant eat yet?
No. Well, yeah, technically we have, because Ridley Scott says that Deckard's a replicant.
No, we haven't. We don't know that yet. Why are you spoiling it for people? Maybe this is their first introduction to Blade Runner, and they're watching along with us.
If you're watching Blade Runner for the first time during or after this podcast, well, what do you want me to tell you? It's been like 40 years. Like, watch a
movie.
Maybe
they're watching it at the same time as us, keeping up with us.
Yeah, but they've probably already seen
like
it.
Like, you only watched Godfather because of the Godfather Minute.
You can't keep up. You can't watch this and keep up with
yes,
us.
Why not?
Because you'd have to pause your movie after 60
maybe
seconds.
Maybe someone
we keep
wants
going
to do it.
For 14 minutes and 46 seconds at
so
this
maybe
point.
That's what they're doing. Maybe they're watching the minute and then listening to the podcast. And then
you make
watch
me so angry sometimes, Sandra. Say goodbye to the microphone.
Goodbye, microphone. Whoa.